Well, this morning, I'm excited to be here, and I thought we would start off by reading the passage for today. So it's a little bit long, but I think it's important for us to get into it. So if you want to read along or if you just want to listen to me reading, you can do so. We're in Matthew 10. I'm reading from the TNIV this morning. Or pull out your Bible app or whatever mode you have. So Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 brothers. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, John, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you on your belts, no bags for the journey or extra shirts or sandals or a staff, for workers are worth their keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at that person's house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust off your feet. And when you leave that home or town, truly I tell you, it will be more unbearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but those who stand firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Students are not above their teachers, nor servants above their master. It is enough for students to be like their teacher and servants like their master. If the head of the house has to be called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak it in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim it from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever publicly acknowledges me, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever publicly disowns me, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be the members of your own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes someone known to be a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, And whoever welcomes someone known to be righteous will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is known to be my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly be rewarded. The word of the Lord. Well, that was a big one. So I hope you go. We're gonna dive into it. As we are looking at how God, his work amongst his people and what he has done. 3.5 years ago, after a long discernment process, I made a transition in my ministry. I'd been working at a church since graduating from college, except for that 4 years I was in seminary, which was also called North Park, was the seminary I went to. There's another Venn diagram maybe here. So. With lots of prayer and conversation with trusted family and friends, I accepted a position as a hospice chaplain. It had been a long time since I had started a new job. And this one, in which I was somewhat familiar with because I'd been pastoring and caring for people within my congregation at the end of their lives, but I was also going into some unknown territory. I did do a CPE, clinical pastoral experience, which was a hospital chaplaincy as part of my degree in seminary. But moving into a medical field was a whole new world. I was excited, but also overwhelmed. And I didn't know what I didn't know. Thankfully, there was an onboarding process. And in that onboarding process I went through, they taught me, they trained me, had me shadow other employees before I was released to go visit patients on my own. And I learned all sorts of acronyms such as ADLs, FAST scores, and many more that I still don't know to this day. I sat in a meeting where we were talking about quality assurance, and especially the nursing stuff and the doctor stuff. I wanted to be like, what is that? But then I thought, it doesn't really matter. I don't need to know that stuff. So even after I went through the onboarding process, I was very nervous to go out on my own and provide spiritual care to patients who, with hospice, has a life expectancy of 6 months or less. However, I had the support of my coworkers, and I learned from mentors who had been doing it before. Today's passage is one in which Jesus was sending out his 12 disciples on their own. They had been with him, learning, watching, asking questions, and getting prepared and equipped for the assignment Jesus was giving them. He had called them, inviting them to follow him. And they had been with him as he healed people, as he interacted with those in the margins of society, and as he taught, they heard his preaching. Jesus knew his purpose. When he began his ministry, he knew what he was called to do. He knew his assignment. And now he was preparing the 12 to carry out that work. This was their assignment. They had gone through their initial training of watching, observing, and this was the next step. They were going to go out on their own without him. So Jesus called them to tell them where to go, what to do, and the challenges they were likely to face. There were a lot in there, weren't there? So I was reading and I was like, yeah, this is going to be fun, isn't it, guys? First, they were given the authority. They were not going out on their own accord. Jesus was empowering them to do the work that he had been doing with his authority. Drive out evil spirits. Heal every disease and sickness. It's like getting a note from your parent to do a big task that they usually do. It's like, here, I can use this credit card. My parents said I could. I can use their credit card. I can do this on behalf of the one who sent me. That's what Jesus was doing. He was giving them that authority. Next, they were told where they were to go. They were to be in Galilee. Galilee is surrounded by Gentile regions, and the south was Samaria. Jesus was very specific in saying, stay within this region. You're not going out there. You're not going down there. That's not our mission field for this assignment. It is within here. They were to focus on the lost sheep of Israel. They were to be amongst their people. Then they were told what to do. proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near. Okay, we can do a whole sermon, maybe even a whole sermon series on the kingdom of heaven, what that means. But basically, it's God's reign is coming. God's reign is there and God's reign is coming. It's the now and not yet. And that is good news. And the next set of instructions are heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, clean the unclean, and drive out demons. Again, this is also good news. Jesus is really expanding his ministry by empowering the disciples to do the work. And I want to make note of this work. It was not to go take over. It was not to get more people as their followers. This may be result of the work. They get more followers, but that's not the focus. Think about those who are about to receive these benefits. The ones who have been sick. The ones who have had to rely on others for their livelihood or their care. To scramble to get their basic needs met. They may be unable to care for themselves because of their illness or disability. And there are stigmas that they live within as well. They're on the margins of society. Rules, laws, systems have pushed them to the edges. They are the least of these. The focus of this assignment is to the least of these. The work that the disciples are being released to do is going to shake up society and bring those on the edges and margins back into community. Not maybe even back into, but into community. They may never have been there. And they are empowered, told what to do, where to go to do it. It's the first part of their assignment. The next part, Jesus tells them what they need to bring with them and how to interact with the community in which they are in. What did he say? There wasn't a whole lot, was there? He tells them to bring very little. Jesus and the disciples haven't spent the last few months fundraising so that they're fully equipped and supported with everything that they need. He is telling them to go with very little. Don't take bags. Don't bring a lot of gold and copper and the things of value. They will need to rely on the hospitality of the community to care for them. They'll need places to stay. They'll need food. They'll need clothing. They will need care. This is not a mission about dominance and control, but rather to bring those who are lost and in need of healing and care back into the community, and they will need the care of the community as well as they are doing it. Jesus understands that they will find both open doors and people that will meet their needs, and those who will not welcome them and will not listen. And when they encounter a no or a hostile situation, he doesn't tell them to yell louder, get bigger, or get angry. Rather, he tells them, just leave. Just move on. The line about shaking the dust off your feet is to look at the unresponsiveness or rejection as they would about regions that they saw as unholy or pagan, which, again, was not their mission field they were calling to. So it's like, it's kind of like they're them, just knock the dust off your feet and move on your way. The attempt was there, but their response isn't up to you, and it's not up to you to change. Again, this isn't about dominance and control. Again, they have their assignment. They know what to do. They know where to go, and they need to get going out. And Jesus tells them, again, what they're probably going to experience. So then here's kind of the warning that they get. Jesus and his ministry messed with the status quo. There were those who not only like the way things are, but benefit from it. When those who have been on the fringes and are outcast and lesser than are lifted up and brought into community as valued members, power and privilege are challenged. He was warning the disciples that they were going to experience persecution and serious consequences, like arrest and flogging. Well, that sounds exciting, doesn't it? Like, sign me up, Jesus. I'm wondering if those disciples were sitting there and beginning to have some seeds of doubt. Maybe they were kind of shifting a little uncomfortably in their seats if they were sitting, or beginning to kind of move towards the back of the crowd. Yeah, I can just see them like, wait a minute, you want us to do what? Wait, we can't bring stuff? We're going to be out there really vulnerable? And wait a minute, we're going to be arrested and flogged? Jesus told them, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will be with you and speak through them if and when you are arrested and brought before officials. And then Jesus said words that will happen with families that may be hard to hear. They may experience some of the closest people in their lives turning against them when they have these things to say when they come. Again, there's a disruption happening because the kingdom of heaven is near. They are not alone. With this word about persecution that they will probably experience, Jesus lets them know they are not alone. They are going to have experienced the same things as their teacher. They don't need to be afraid of those who oppose them because everything will be out in the open. It isn't hidden. He tells them to proclaim it from the roofs. That is where, back in those days, the roofs were flat and people would kind of like stand up and speak. And so that's where it was just out there. It wasn't like hidden. You get a lot of messages to people. He also reassures them of how much they are cared for by God. That reassurance. The thing about the sparrows, those could be bought in the marketplace for pennies. And he's like, you are worth so much more than that. In fact, we know all the hairs on your head. God is with them and cares for them. But the mission is to bring healing and restoration for those who are suffering. It's to bring good news to the kingdom of heaven, to this community. And verse 34 can be a little tricky. And I've heard it used out of context to yield power and control. Where it says, do not suppose I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did